on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. My name is Tyler Carter.
And my name is Cody Van Cilello.
And this is the Baylor preview show. Man, Cody, we're already in week five. This season is flying by.
Yeah, I mean, just a few weeks ago, like, we were all just preparing for the season, whatnot. We didn't know what to expect out of first-year offensive coordinator Taylor Mauser. And now that we're a few weeks in, we've seen what Taylor Mauser's offense has done. And I will say, more than I expected. I think he got a little more leeway than previous offensive coordinators. But that's just one story about this Iowa State team. Can we talk about that? Like, can we, like, give a nod to the defense, like, what they've done this year under John Heacock? John Heacock's always been known to be a defensive mastermind, but what he's put out this year simply has not been seen, like, you know, compared to a lot of other Heacock defenses.
Yeah, man. I mean, you have, with this defense, like, you actually have a lot of depth for the first time. I will say that that's been the story of this season, this depth, because with the way this defense is performing, is that no matter who you put in there, they'll put in the, like, even when I was at the game last week, they were rotating so many guys in there, and, like, the defense didn't miss a step.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, obviously, the big pitch to look at with the defense is obviously the linebacker room. Now, this year, like, the linebacker room has been hit with the injury bug, but I got to give credit to the guys that stepped up, Jacob Ellis, Cooper Ebel, and Kale Brezina, who's been the star amongst those three. And I'm saying right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Kale Brezina, like, by the end of the year, solidifies himself as a solid starter.
I mean, he wasn't even supposed to start at that spot. He's supposed to be one of the, I believe, the strong side backer. And, I mean, with Caleb Bacon's injury, he had to step in there, and he's just been amazing there. I mean, the best thing about this is that these young linebackers are going to be able to get very, very good reps in. So, at the time when we're going to be playing tougher teams within the next few weeks, they'll be ready for this stretch run that we got. But, let's get in. First, before we get into this, I'm going to share a few notes that I took from the weekly Tuesday press conference from Matt Campbell. So it looks like the running back by committee thing is going to continue. Campbell did say that, you know, the running backs are going to have to continue to earn their right to play, which means that I feel like there's not going to be a one-back system. And, I mean, the two-running-back system has been pretty good the last few games. We've run for over at least 220 yards the last two games. So the offensive line, just in that sense, has improved a lot. So I found that very, very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Jackson this year, he's been a great compliment to Abu Sama. And we know Abu Sama is, like, the home run hitter. He'll get you, like, those long touchdowns. I mean, we saw in the game against Houston. But what we also saw in the game against Houston is Jalen Jackson, who's more than capable of making those big plays, but he's a more downhill kind of runner. He goes, finds a lane, just straight, just, uses his speed. Whereas Abu Sama's, kind of more, using his, agility and patience to try to find an open lane, sometimes to his own detriment. But, I mean, having this depth is an issue that's good for this team, because, I mean, Abu Sama may not be getting as many carries as he did last year, but that's because we have guys that can step in when he's not on the field who can produce just as good.
Yeah, and one of the other things which I also think will help in the run game more is that Steve O'Klotz, it looked like he was a game-time decision last week But until game time, they decided that he wasn't going to play. But it looks like he may be able to be in for Saturday's game, which will be huge, and I think will be big for the receiving game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just very glad to hear that, like, he's a game time decision. And honestly, just I think we tried that power eye that we tried a few times against Arkansas State when they worked with Steve Oklotz. Last week we tried it a few times, it didn't really work out as much, and I think you kind of missed a presence like Steve Oklotz, who is like a pass catching tight end that can also block really well. But I mean, in general, the tight end room was blocking well just throughout the season, and it continues.
Yeah, I like that Maryland eye set because they passed out of it, but it took a superhuman effort from the Houston defensive end to break that pass away. Otherwise, Trip Walsh probably would have had that. But it's going to be nice to have Steve O back. And then it looks like also I heard that Trevor Burrett might be getting more snaps because Dylan Barrett had a few very bad procedural penalties in the previous game. So I look for Trevor Burrett to probably get more snaps in that right guard.
Yeah. Just that line in general has been good to hear. I mean, speaking of the line, Jalen Travis had himself a pretty nice game.
Man, he was
and balling. Man, what an asset he is on the offensive line.
Yeah, man, when you have a mauler like that, and with his size, 6'9", 335, he's a great, great asset to have on the line.
And again, he comes from Princeton. He comes from an Ivy League school, so you know he's got a pretty good like general IQ and pretty high football IQ, so you know he's got like that understanding. He understands like assignments and the techniques and whatnot. So just that football IQ from Jalen Travis is a really key tool to have.
Yeah. So let's preview this Baylor game. So for me, with this Baylor game, I think Baylor is going to give us a pretty good challenge. Baylor offensively was actually pretty good last week, and if it wasn't for them coming up a little bit short against BYU, they probably would have won that game. I think this week is going to be when the defense actually gets tested.
Yeah, for sure. Just throughout these first four games, I mean, that's one of the things that Iowa State has been a little criticized for. Was the fact that they didn't really go up against competent offenses. And now you're going up against a Baylor team who has proven who can move the ball and who can score points. So that's going to be a little bit more challenged for our linebacker room, just our defense in general. But with the way our defense is and how like they're in their DNA, I don't think they're not going to allow like any big plays. So I think we'll be able to like limit Baylor to just whatever is like in front of them, but I don't think they're going to break away for any big plays.
No, they're not going to break away for any big plays, but they are going to sling it through the air. So that like definitely, I think for this, there's going to be this secondary is definitely going to be tested, which I think will be a good thing, mm-hmm. since the Power Five opponents that we have played are usually run heavy type teams. But with Baylor, you always know with Baylor that they're going to have some athletes out at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, in that last game, actually, I'm taking a look here. Baylor's leading receiver, Josh Cameron, 6'1", 218, has 16 receptions on the year, 267 yards and 3 touchdowns. And in his last game, I believe, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, it gets to BYU. He has 7 receptions for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. So clearly he is an asset for Baylor. And, I mean, Sawyer Robinson, too, is a solid QB. So I think he's a little higher on the QB list than the QBs we've gone up against. Yeah, he's the best QB that our defense has played up to this point.
Yeah. That guy can sling it. He also has a little bit of speed. So if we do get sold on the pass, he could go pop off for a big run, which could be a concern. But the good thing is that our interior defensive line has been very, very good this year. So I expect Zach Levitt to be a factor again in this game, being used as the quarterback spy to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just the key thing, the guy's fast, but I think the big key is going to see like how the discipline our linebackers will be as well when we're like in the box, because I saw it a lot of times last week in Houston, where our linebackers, we had like all of our guys in the box bite to one side, and that led to Houston breaking it out long. And I think that's kind of just like what like fits right in Houston's game plan, because they're really speedy kind of team. They run the ball all over you, so I'm getting like that's probably why we were overcommitting a lot, but it's still something that needs to be fixed. Like, our linebackers not overcommitting. They got to fill up gaps on the line and just be able to finish tackles too, because that's been a thing I've been seeing too throughout the year. It's just we aren't really like being able to finish tackles. We're not tackling like fundamentally, and that's something that just needs to be fixed.
Yeah, definitely. Since we're getting into the teeth of this schedule, sure, tackling is definitely going to be crucial, especially in this game. I think. Offensively, like I think with us, the key is discipline defensively. Like, don't let Baylor you could let Baylor throw the ball all over the yard. So like, even if it is, you know, it's bend don't break, but they also don't really have a running game either. So like, they're going to have to pass the ball over the yard against one of the best secondaries in college football.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that might play up right to our right in our field house as well. So just keep your coverages, understand your assignments, and also see if you can like do what you can to contain, kind of QB contain or whatever. Just like making sure that the QB doesn't get outside like the pocket, right. He doesn't go for like a long run, and just got to be right there, ready to meet him.
Yeah, be right there, ready to meet him. I think offensively, I think this is a game where we could possibly pop off and score over 30, because as BYU proved last week, if you get up early on these guys, like, you got to make sure that you keep the intensity up. So that's why I think more than ever in this game, like, we got to get off to a quicker start, because I don't think Baylor is one of those teams where you can get a fast start and then, you know, or like a slow start, and then you have to basically pick yourself up to try to get back into the game. I think we got to get something started off fast from the jump. I think that starts with Rocco being a lot more sharper from the beginning of the game. He's sort of struggled at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, that's been something that fans have noted for the past like few weeks. Is like we tended to start really slow on offense, and that has kind of hampered us like in these games, and certainly in Houston. Like, I think we really honestly should have been up 21-0 at halftime, but we weren't, just because of how slow we started. But I mean, you're at home, you have like a lot to go, and I'm pretty sure like that's something that like, it's gonna be that was preached this week in practice. So getting off to that high flying start, get off to the start that you had against North Dakota, the start you had against Arkansas State, and you gotta also do what you did against Arkansas State. You just gotta keep pounding, you just gotta keep finding the end zone. Don't let your foot up off the gas. And I mean, the way, like, with how Baylor's defense was against BYU, we could probably go up that same amount maybe at halftime, or even like 28 real fast, like with how Baylor started that game. So it's kind of like a two sides of the coin there, because we had a slow start, but also Baylor had a really like slow start. But it's like whoever gets like that, if we get that fast start, like what happened against BYU for Baylor. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. And I think we're going to be I think we have a better defense than BYU. But, I mean, take it with a grain of salt.
Oh, yeah. We by far have the best defense in the Big 12. And we have the fourth best scoring defense in college football right now. So, like, yeah. If we start off fast and we're up like three touchdowns, let's say we cover the spread in the first half. Like, I also, talking about last week, I also think that the game plan also was, since they knew that Houston couldn't do anything through the air, I think that's why they didn't really like attack downfield. really, because it's like, okay, yes, let's try not just, I mean, and even though it was a very sort of conservative game plan, we're not going to lose this mainly. And they did that because they knew that Houston wasn't going to be a threat in the air. But yes, I totally agree with you. Yes, we do need to start maybe looking for those deep routes and deep throws downfield.
Yeah. I mean, obviously with Rocco, take what the defense gives you. But if they give you a deep shot to like Higgins, just take it.
Take it. I mean, and we got to talk about him, bro. Man, if it wasn't for Tedder or McMillan, he definitely would be the best wide receiver in the Big 12. Like, man,
for sure.
Him and Noah have been consistent all year long.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jaden Higgins. I think he has the current school record for the most continuous games with a receiving touchdown. You go back to last year's Farmageddon. He's at six
right.
consecutive games with a receiving touchdown. And honestly, if you're thinking about it, I think that might continue. That might be seven. The way this Baylor defense looked, I think Jaden Higgins can easily maybe go for two touchdowns in this game.
I like for Jalen to have a huge game. I think he's probably going to go for like, I think this might be a big, really, really big game for Jalen. I think this is where he can go for like 125 and a tud. But like, I also see like Bramer being able to bust through that seam through the middle, maybe him have hit like a good 67.5 yards too. I look for both of them to, those guys have huge games. Because I believe they're probably going to be looking at Higgins to be like, all right, we got to worry about this guy. But I'm like, hey, but you still got to worry about two other guys you got to cover.
Yeah. And I mean, Nolan Bramer are known to exploit the middle of the field, given that Higgins is like that deep ball threat. And I mean, Noel could also you can have like two levels where you have Bramer on the first level, like maybe front or just behind the linebackers. And then you have Noel still up the middle, but a little bit further up, maybe like right where the safeties are. So you can like do multiple levels within that middle and exploit that and see like where the defense wants, like wherever they go, you just go away from it. And I think Rocco's going to have. I think he's going to get better opportunities to be more efficient. And I know he wants to be sharper as well. He knew he was.
I mean, if anything, Rocco is self-aware. He knows he needs to be better. So, you know, I expect, you know, that he'll be better on Saturday. Just the raucous crowd, man. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere on Saturday. I'm going to be there in person. So like, I can't wait, bro.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be in Ames. It's going to be my first time in Ames this year. Oh, I can't wait. So that was actually a pretty solid analysis. What do you have any other thoughts before we do score predictions?
I mean, yeah, obviously, like you just alluded to this about now, but yeah, the atmosphere. This is going to be like probably like the biggest game for Iowa State up to the home game in quite some time. You're talking like Iowa State possibly going 5-0 for the first time since 1980. You're talking about the whiteout. You're talking about the drone show. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance that's going to be going on for this game. And I think, yeah, that's going to be a tribute to how Iowa State is able to propel themselves to win. Just given the atmosphere they're playing, you know the players want to deliver to these fans.
Oh, yeah.
And
I certainly think
they will.
Yeah, especially just with, you know, with every single win that we get, I think the fans' confidence gets stronger and stronger and stronger. They're like, okay, all right. Okay, we won this one. Okay, we won this one. Oh, we won this one too. So, like, yeah, I think this is going to be a narrative-driven game, especially for the people in the national media too. They're like, all right, well, let's look at Iowa State and stuff. Let's see if they are for real. But,
yeah.
You're totally right, bro. This is definitely a game where this is, you know, where we'll see if Iowa State wants to get to that next level as a program. These are the games that you win, and like coming up in the next few weeks, like you're going to be expected if you want to get to where you need to be, if you want to be considered a playoff type program, these are the type of games you need to win. So
yeah, these are the moments to live for, what you train for in the off season.
Man, that's right. This is what we dreamed of during that season preview episode that we talked about. And, man, we're here. We are here. Yeah. All right. Let's do score predictions. And as always, we will do our looking at the Big 12 segment. So.
Absolutely. So right now, before we so currently the over under for this game is 44.5. This is on ESPN, and the spread for this game is 12.5 in favor of the Cyclones.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think? You think they cover, or you think they? You think it'll be a little closer than what the extras predict?
I think just with how the team like is and like the way our defense is. And we haven't even played to our, like, obviously we didn't reveal much last week against Houston. And I don't think we revealed much, like, at all. We might be able to maybe pull something out of the hat here, and I think it'll be a fiery start. And I just think, Iowa State is just going to be too much for Baylor's defense to handle. And Iowa State's going to easily cover the spread. I'm thinking they might go 35-17.
Yeah, mine's something similar to that. Yeah, I think Iowa State continues the run game started. I think we'll get a lot much more going in the pass game. I think Rock will be a lot more crisp starting off in this game. I have us winning 31-13.
All right.
Let's take a look at the Big 12, other games around the Big 12.
Yeah, absolutely. So tomorrow, actually, we're going to get some Big 12 on Friday night. So some Friday night lights down in the Lone Star State. It is the 1-4 Houston Cougars going up against the 3-2 TCU Horned Frogs. TCU, after that win against Kansas, they look like they're right back into possibly going bowling. And I think this game might be just another. This is going to be another win for TCU. It's like TCU is going to win this game. I don't. Houston's clearly the bottom feeder of the league.
TCU is going to win this game, but I don't think TCU covers at all. Like I think last week Houston showed me that defensively they're pretty tough. They're mm-hmm. not elite, but their defense is good. I don't think that TCU is going to cover the spread. I think that will be closer than what the experts predict. So I have TCU winning by like a touchdown.
Okay. All right. And then Saturday, you do have quite a few teams on bye, but this is what we're looking at here for October 5th, West Virginia at Oklahoma State. Now, what's funny is, so this guy, before we went by Primetime Devers, Noah, he made something about on Twitter about the Riot Bowl in 2018 and their similarities that game had to this upcoming one here in 2024. Mm-hmm. One of the big ones was the fact that both teams, both West Virginia and Iowa State, prior to playing each other in 2018 and 2024 respectively, they played at Stillwater. That's just one of the funny coincidences that was mentioned. And, I mean, looking at Oklahoma State, they're a mess right now. They are a mess. Like, yeah, who even is the quarterback at this point?
It's still Alan Bowman, but, like, I mean, I don't know if they're going to give Garrett Rangel a guy or their young guy, Zane Flores. Like, it is a mess right now in Stillwater right now, so... for this one, I mean, if West Virginia plays their game, because Oklahoma State can't really defend either. So I'm actually going to pick West Virginia to win this game, on the road in Stillwater. I think it's going to be something like this is going to be a lot more high scoring. I'll say they could pull this one out like 34-31.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I think I might go West Virginia too, just because of the uncertainty down at Oklahoma State and saw how badly they got gashed by Kansas State in Manhattan. I don't trust this. Like, this is one of the takes that, like, if you had told, like, I think, like, who would have thought Oklahoma State would be 0-2 in Big 12 play and look this bad?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't score against a Utah who is down their quarterback, and then Kansas State just gashes you. Like, I don't know what Oklahoma State has left offensively, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know where you go from here if you're Oklahoma State, but we'll see what happens this Saturday. Let's see what happens. Let's go down to we got ourselves a very interesting one. This one might be a little bit of a conflict of interest for you, given your allegiance to an SEC team here. It's the UCF Knights traveling to the Swamp to take on the Florida Gators on the SEC network.
Yeah. So Florida, basically, this game is going to determine Billy Napier's job, honestly. There's no way that you can lose a UCF, and UCF is also sort of reeling last week after a surprising blowout loss at home to Colorado. And offensively, they've been struggling. And KJ Jefferson isn't the guy that they thought that they were getting. So, man, I know, like, Eric and I were talking about this, and I picked UCF yesterday, but I think Florida's going to win in an upset. I think Florida wins at home.
Yeah, given that this is looking like to be a game at the Swamp at night, although Florida isn't that great, I just think they have a little more in the tank. Depending on like who you start at quarterback, hearing rumblings that maybe if DJ Lagway starts,
if DJ Lagway starts, he'll give Florida a lot more juice at offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I think the young guy will give you a better chance to win than Graham Mertz. So we'll see what happens, but I have Florida winning.
All right. All right, next up, you have we're heading down to Tempe, the Kansas Jayhawks. They're heading down. They're limping in Tempe to take on the Arizona State Sun Devils. Kansas, man.
They are reeling, bro. Like, Jalen Daniels has not been good at all. Defense is not good. And the only thing Kansas has really is their running game. But defensively, Arizona State has been pretty stout, and they have Scatterbo as their running back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess at this point, Kansas is 1-4. They basically would have to go 5-2 the rest of the way to make a bowl game. But I don't see it, man. I think Kansas is cooked. I think Arizona State covers and they win this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Arizona State covers that. They might be up for. But yeah, you mentioned Kansas. We're just gonna look at the rest of their schedule. Yeah, after this game, I mean, you should win against Houston. Let's be real here.
Keyword should.
We kind of said the same thing about them against UNLV, but look what happened.
I mean, they should have won the Illinois game, too.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, good luck, Kansas. Your schedule after Arizona State, Houston. You're at Kansas State.
Ooh.
You're playing Iowa State in Arrowhead, which is, at this point, just basically going to be another Iowa State
home game. It's
going
to be another Iowa State home game.
Kansas might as well just give us the home game. Let's be real here.
Jack Trisouth. Just call Jack Trisouth. Ooh, yep, BYU? Oh, my goodness.
And they have to travel to Provo. They have to travel to Provo. And then you get Colorado, who is starting to – they look better than last year, obviously. That one's – 28th, easy for you. And then you end your year at Baylor. And, I mean, who knows what Baylor looks like at the end of the year?
Yeah, who knows what Baylor looks like at the end of the year? I think they'll be a tough out. And honestly, I think the job of Dave Aranda is going to determine on how bad we beat Baylor. Because if it's like a blowout, then I think
you're saying there's a possibility that a week after Dave Aranda's birthday, our gift to him is his walking papers.
Yes.
That would be honestly fun. There are so many memes you can make out of that. There's already a page that like made a meme out of it, and it's like it's just Dave Aranda and then the Vince McMahon clip.
You're fired.
Exactly. Exactly. There's some good memes that there's meme potential there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's why I started hoping Blow Out happened, because I want to see the memes that you come up with.
All right. Yep. And after that one, we got ourselves some more Big 12 after dark. Texas Tech traveling to Tucson to take on the Arizona Wildcats after that big upset win over the Utah Utes. Top 10 Utah Utes, mind you.
Yeah, the top 10 Utah Utes. Arizona, I mean, like, defensively, if they find that, hey, and they're consistent, maybe they could be a player in this Big 12. The Big 12 is so wide open.
Yeah.
For everybody that's in the RV Village, this might be an RV Village special. If you're staying a little bit after the tailgate, this is going to be a night tailgate special for Big 12 After Dark. So I think our group are going to be tailgating a little bit later, so I'm definitely going to be tuned into this one.
Oh, yeah. Now, I might consider that, like, what? I walk out of the game, and then, boom, I'm right there, find the 10. We're just watching some Big 12 After Dark. Sign me up, even though I went tail. Because I promise you right now, I'm going to be tailgating all day long. Crack of dawn. Yeah. Because why not?
Why not?
But in all seriousness, I think, yeah, Arizona, like, off of the, like, let's see, like, if that win over Utah, they get a hangover, or do they stay focused and get this win over Texas Tech?
Yeah, bro, look at the over-under. 64.5.
Ah, just like the old Big 12 days. That's an old Big 12 right there. It's classic. want offensive fireworks? Yeah. That's your game.
That's your game, and I'm low-key sort of tempted to put some coins on the over in that. But, like, because both of these guys can't stop a waterfall. So, like, that one, I think I'm going to take the over in that one.
Yeah, that one definitely, yeah. I can see that one going over.
Definitely. Well, that is your Big 12 slate. I don't think there's really any other big games really this week at all. All the big, the big week is next week. But,
real quick. Yeah,
let's take a look at it real quick.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we'll just share it real quick. I thought of something here. I think I might have seen, like, a game here. Obviously, you've got some G5 action for the lookout. I mean, UNLV being ranked in the top 25 for, I think, the first time in a while.
Oh, they're hosting Syracuse.
Yep, that's the lookout.
Oh, Mizzou and A&M.
Ranked matchup. I don't know how A&M's, like, this happens every year. I don't get how they're a ranked matchup, how they're ranked, but here we are.
SEC, and then that game is going to determine if Missouri wins that game, Missouri will be for real.
Yeah, against Vanderbilt, they look shaky.
Yeah, then we got Iowa, Ohio State. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm sorry, Iowa, but I think Ohio State's going to kill the Hawkeyes.
They are.
Let's see here.
And then one game I do want to talk about in the MAC is Miami of Ohio against Toledo. I think that's going to be a sneaky good game for MACtion.
Dude, MACtion, man. I can't wait for, like, the midweek MACtion, but I'll take this for now.
I'll take it for now, but that's going to be a great game. So this is your Baylor preview. We can be found at Full Matt Campbell.
Yep.
Matt Campbell impersonator. I'm at SciTie Guy. Obviously, we're live streaming this through Twitter. So this is live streaming through my account. So hi, everybody. So we can be found on our social media platforms at Believe in Iowa State, BLEAV, on Instagram, X/Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Also, we can be found on your favorite podcast contributor or podcast provider, whatever, however you want to say it. Comment, leave good ratings, and we look forward to getting back to you either Saturday night or Sunday afternoon. As for Tyler Carter.
And from Cody Van Cielo.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Go Cyclones.
Go State.